This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Like a ball of fire, a missile blew up a Ukrainian bus in what the Kyiv mayor calls war against civilians. Sadly, this is the scene that keeps getting played out, especially in the last week or so. More deaths are being reported, even as people get so close to the promised land, freedom getting across the border, particularly that Polish border where now the Russians are a little bit closer, about 20 miles outside of that, and they have been able to stop some people. So the Mayor Klitschko said one person died, six more were injured Monday when a Russian rocket landed on a civilian bus in the Ukrainian capital. An attack, of course, that was captured by a surveillance camera at a nearby park. There were people still in their houses, and they shook, of course, after the impact, and you could feel that shockwave, some said, and it was an incredibly stressful day. I looked at some of that video, and it's really quite depressing, and this is what we're seeing, destroyed buildings, destroyed infrastructure, and this city bus that got slammed by the rocket, and more importantly, people are dying. So how does the world stand together? How do they free the Ukraine? That's some of the hashtags you're seeing. And stop Putin's war. Hey, hey, everybody. Again, Kate Delaney, business as usual as we roll through, and now we're into this third plus week of the movement in the Ukraine, and many cities are getting destroyed. And the truth is the Russians are really closing in. But they are having problems, and they are still vulnerable in some of the guerrilla tactics that the Ukrainian troops and even the, I call them the ragtag band, they're more than that, but people that have banded together to do whatever they can to protect some of the cities, especially the capital city, they are having still some success, which must be incredibly frustrating for Vladimir Putin, where some of the troops, the Russian troops, have lost morale, have lost lives, have lost equipment, and he apparently, although this is being denied and it's being floated as false information from the United States, that he has reached out to China for help, economic help, military help, help in any way possible. But is China open to that? The U.S. says that there is information that suggests China has expressed openness to providing Russia with military and financial assistance as part of Russia's war on the Ukraine. It's not clear whether China intends to provide Russia with the assistance, but there was a seven-hour meeting in Rome with a top aide to the president, President Joe Biden, and that aide warned his Chinese counterpart of potential implications and consequences for China should China support Russia. And, you know, you think about that, it certainly, this is a growing concern of this partnership between Moscow and Beijing, but it always has been. And while we're isolating and the European Union is doing the same thing, cutting off Russia, isolating them, punishing Russia for the aggression against the Ukraine, the Chinese president has the potential to reverse that almost immediately with the amount of capital they have, the amount of military equipment they have, and the amount of food that they could get to the Russian troops, that apparently that's one of the things that they're looking for. They don't have MREs like many of our troops would have. They're really short supply there. And in fact, they're running into grocery stores and grabbing food. So the fact that China could get involved, you would have to think if they do, that would prolong this conflict that increasingly is killing people that live there that are in the middle of this. And also, it is that big alliance between two communist countries that obviously are in competition with democratic countries, freedom seekers like the United States and our European allies. So is it another Cold War? And when people suggest that and you say, oh, really, that you think that's possible? Of course it's possible. Now, is the whole Chinese Communist Party leadership, are they all in agreement with how to respond to the request? Probably not. I mean, are they worried about their involvement and how that would hurt their economic relationships with the West? Because China is definitely reliant on the West for exporting, importing, we know that, especially exporting. That's what they had to be thinking about, I would think, but also importing. So that involvement would probably threaten that, especially if it was a big involvement. But Russia's stuck in some senses logistically, and some of their capabilities are off, which is why the Ukrainian military is having some success, right? That's what's happening. And, of course, the other part of this is the Ukraine needs weapons, too. They need more shipments. They're getting them. The more of that is starting to come in, which is a good thing. Our president is working to get international support for the Ukraine and might travel to Europe to consult with allies there, supposedly. No trip is finalized, but might be soon. In the meantime, President Zelensky is going to virtually address a joint session of Congress on Wednesday because he has to be concerned about all that he's hearing about Russia and China and, of course, what is happening in his country. And he knows what's happening and the chaos that's happening and what's going on with the people. And the number keeps jumping, but, you know, it's well over 2.5 million now. That's the number that the UN has just updated of people who have gotten out of the Ukrainian cities that are being bombed, that are being shelled. That's a good thing, but there are still too many people that are there. And they're there. Many of them want to stay there. They want to stay there because they want to help children. They want to help families. They want to be there for their neighbors. So they might be in an area where buildings around them are torn up and they're finding shelter in all these little nooks and crannies, but they're there and they don't want to leave. I mean, there's some very, very deep concerns. I mean, and you know, you look at Zelensky and he is just a picture of I'm in this to win and I'm in here with my troops. He was visiting injured soldiers in hospitals. He was giving out medals. He's going to do this virtual address to Congress. And certainly, while he has a target on his back, and that is the goal of the Russians to take him out, because how easily would Kyiv fall and would the country maybe come apart at the seams, he is holding his own and holding court and lifting spirits and doing everything that he can in the middle of a horrific, horrific situation. So keeping an eye on China, nothing new with that, but specifically China supplying Russia with aid. What would be the right response if you had to make that call? What would be your response to that? You can send me your thoughts. We're going to run an unofficial poll. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Stay with us. A conversation with a great author coming up next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
About Rick Cianco and his niece Deb Gomez is with us. Her book is called The Magistrate, Family Man, Fisherman, Friend. We had such a fascinating off-air conversation about this man and the lives that he touched and really some of the ceilings that he broke through without a doubt. And it made me think about who are your mentors, who are you mentoring? There's so much to this book that talks about family and talks about when you are the person who just continues to go and you're not held back. You go to places where you never thought maybe you could exist, but I don't think he thought that at all. So Deb Gomez, thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today, Kate.
So tell me about Uncle Rick and why he's fascinating, and I think he's somebody that a lot of people could be inspired by. So tell me about his story.
Yes, my Uncle Rick, we grew up in the same household, and he is 8 years older than me. So I watched him from my vantage point in the family. He was born to immigrant parents who came from the Philippines to Hawaii in 1919 to work in the sugar and pineapple plantations there. And we pretty much lived subsistence style, and we did not have much finances. So Rick, I watched him as he grew up, got into trouble, yes, and the book has a lot of funny stories about growing up and what we did in the 1950s in Hawaii. Then he went to Lahaina Luna, a boarding school, where he learned to live independently and away from family. But every step he took, even through high school, and even before he went to high school, he knew he had mentors around him. And he gave them credence throughout the book and how important it is to have mentors to help him. Because even when he graduated from high school, Kate, he didn't have any money. But during high school, he worked in the pineapple field. And he knew he didn't want to work in the pineapple fields. It was hard labor. So he joined the Air Force, and how every step of the way, he just went through doors that opened before him serendipitously. But because of his mentors, and he paid attention to when doors opened and knew how to prepare himself before the doors opened. The big thing about his life is he says he is an example of one who prepared himself before doors opened. So always improve yourself. He took classes. He listened to his mentors. So he was prepared to go through. So he gives his mentors a lot of credit for his successes. And then he became, from being a young immigrant son in Molokai, Hawaii, he became the first Filipino magistrate in Alaska.
Wow. So how does he make that journey to Alaska, and what is that like, being the magistrate?
Okay, his journey to Alaska, actually, when he finally got out of the Air Force, and his Air Force story is really important because he makes some really critical life changes there, and where he met people that he would be friends with for his entire life. And when he returned to Seattle, because our family is kind of based in Seattle after we left Hawaii, not all of us, we still have home in Hawaii. But he was driving with a friend, and there was an advertisement for a radio position with the Air Force in Alaska. So they made a bet that he has been all over the world, but he had never been to Alaska. So his friend says, well, I bet you couldn't go to Alaska. So he says, okay, drive me to the airport and get to a phone. He calls in, so they tell him to come in for an interview. He puts in his app and everything, and he gets the job. He gets the job instantly because in the Air Force, he was a radio operator, and that's what they needed up there. And he did so well in the Air Force that, you know, he didn't really have to take a test or anything. So he went on the ferry boat and went to Alaska early in the morning. So that
wow.
Those are doors serendipitously that opened for him, and he paid attention to those.
Yeah, and you learned so much from him. I mean, obviously not just you, but others, I'm sure, in your family. And I love that saying, when doors open, pay attention, because he paid attention. And, you know, you talk about a fisherman and friend, and you say that he had just great friends, and it looks like he was connected and never let those friends slip away. Is that right?
Yes, it's really important. Growing up in an immigrant family and in the situation we were, and my grandmother died at a young age, so that my mom took in, and Rick was one of the younger ones, took in six of her brothers and sisters who were all below the age of 10. So we were all together. And growing up that way, you know, we didn't have a lot of money because my dad was a laborer in the fields. We had to come together. We had to work together as a family. So our family legacy, and it says in the book, is based on love of God, love of family, and service to others. So we hung on to those, and Rick demonstrates that, and the book demonstrates that. That's why I wanted to write that book, not only for future generations, but also to share with everyone in an immigrant family situation that way, and the immigrant stories. I know there are a lot of immigrant stories out there, that's how, with our moral values, our good family values, and with hard work, that's what I learned and witnessed from Rick. I heard it around me in family all the time growing up, but I watched Rick really demonstrate that. So, yeah.
Rich, what a rich story. So The Magistrate, Family Man, Fisherman, Friend, you get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading this book?
Two things. The first thing is your story is very important, especially the immigrant American story. It's so important because that's what we are. And, you know, we are a young country. We are only 242 years since our independence. So these stories, and still identifying who we are as Americans, you know, I say that other than the indigenous people who have been here long before our Constitution was deeply rooted here, that every family has an immigrant story that goes back when our first ancestor came here. So we have wonderful stories about how hard workers we are and how the American values are really solidified, you know, that way. So I want everyone to know that their stories are important to tell and to share. That's really important because it can get lost. And the other thing was that your family institution, what we stand on shoulders, strong shoulders, and we need to remember our ancestors, and that's what we want, and I particularly want our future generations, especially in our family, to know where they come from. Mm-hmm. They need to have an attachment to that, because our third, fourth generations, they have everything. They have good education. They have good jobs. I'm so proud of them and, you know, love them for where they are. They are living the dreams of my grandparents that came in 1919. And they still need to learn where that came from and the hard work that previous ancestors really did so that they could experience and enjoy life today as we know it.
Wow. Such a great story, and I think an inspiration to so many, and to remind all of you, who are your mentors, what are you doing, and what happens, you know, when a door opens, pay attention like Uncle Rick did. Deb Gomez, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, under the category of for real, I happen to come across this story today that I'll leave you with. This U.S. aircraft carrier, it was the site of a 1972 race riot at sea, is on its way to a scrapyard. It was once this incredible, amazing aircraft carrier, the USS Kitty Hawk. And it's retired, this super carrier. It's on its final journey. Its final journey is a 16,000-mile journey from Washington State to Texas. It's going to be cut up and sold for scrap. So what's interesting is this is a 1,047-foot-long, 252-foot-wide carrier. It can't go through the Panama Canal, so it's going to creep along South America, that coastline, and up through the Gulf of Mexico on its final destination. This was launched in 1960, and it's, of course, now a relic of an era before the arrival of nuclear-powered Nimitz-class ships. I think it is so cool the way this is on its wild journey. For real. All right, I'll meet you on the other side. More coming your way. Just the facts.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan warned his Chinese counterpart face-to-face that consequences are possible if Beijing decides to assist the Kremlin. Russia has reportedly asked China for help in its invasion of Ukraine. The meeting had already been scheduled between the two officials weeks ago. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will deliver a virtual address to Congress on Wednesday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi hoping a vote on a COVID-19 funding bill will happen this week.
More than $15 billion in additional COVID relief was stripped from a larger spending bill last week after bipartisan objections. Pelosi called herself very disappointed during an event in New York City. The White House saying new COVID funds are urgently needed. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Monday on Wall Street, the Dow was flat, the Nasdaq and S&P ended in the red. This is USA Radio News. Investigators in the Big Apple and the nation's capital are trying to catch a murderer. They say a man has been targeting homeless men as they sleep on the streets. New York Mayor Eric Adams called the violence a cold-blooded attack.
When you look at the premeditative action of this shooter, it sends a clear and loud message that we need the help from the public.
Several surveillance photos have been released, including a close-up of the man's face. At least two people have been killed and three others have been wounded in less than 2 weeks. About 2,600 incoming freshmen to the University of California, Berkeley, will not be turned away. The California legislature unanimously approved overturning a recent court ruling that would have turned away the students. The state Supreme Court forced the school to cut its enrollment because it says the college failed to comply with a state law requiring it to consider how adding more students would affect the environment. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
And in this version of Just the Facts, as I know them to be true anyway, we have fog and flights, but not together. I'll explain. So we start first with the flights. Once again, what is going on, people? Can you just get on a plane and fly? An Aeromexico flight from Toronto to Mexico City was diverted to Houston. That happened on Thursday morning because they had to get rid of three passengers. They were pretty intoxicated, it seemed. This Aero Flight 617 landed at George Bush Intercontinental Airport. I've been there many times in Houston, but this was at 3:42 in the morning. So the passengers, two men and a woman, were told they weren't allowed to consume alcohol by a flight attendant. That's an account from somebody that was there. And they were advised to finish their beverages. But they kept refusing to cover their faces with their masks. They were rude, confrontational, and were apparently intoxicated. So what does the flight attendant do? Lets the captain know. Then they diverted the plane to Houston. The cops were there. They met the flight. All three were removed from the plane. Two passengers were transported to Houston's Sobering Center. What is that? Get the hint? Sobering Center? It's a place where people can be transported without being arrested to avoid a criminal record for public intoxication. So the third passenger was left in care of Customs and Border Protection. They had no entry to the U.S., that whole stipulation, so they can't take them. They couldn't take them to the Sobering Center because they would be entering the U.S. People, there's something about that. What, you go and get drunk at the airport bar and then you get on a plane and you decide you're going to harass everyone and pull the mask down, throw it around and all this other nonsense? I just don't understand. I don't. All right, fog I understand and hate. I've talked about driving on ice, forget about ice, but fog is really bad. So 5 crashes, 2 killed, 3 people. That's sad. Along this stretch of I-95 in Florida, and it shut down an 18-mile stretch of the interstate in both directions. They were calling it super fog, and this brought the visibility down to less than 10 feet, and that, of course, was part of what contributed to the crash. It happened around 1:30 in the morning, and there were 17 cars total involved in this, and this was outside of, you know, Melbourne, Florida. So miraculously, there were so many others that survived this. But when you look at what a super fog looks like, and I saw the crash site, and when it was Thursday morning, so when it was early in the morning, and man, you could barely see anything. It's a weird phenomenon that happens in central Florida with the weather when they have the smoke in the fog. So that super fog forms when you have this mixture of smoke and moisture released from, I guess, damp, smoldering material like brush, leaves, trees, all that stuff. And it mixes with the cooler air, and then there you go. That's what you get. Who knew? I had no idea. I have an aunt that lives there. I've broadcast a show from there, and I'm going to have to ask her about the super fog, but I would not want to be on the road at all there. The super fog has caused lots of pileups in Florida. There was one on I-4, which is horrible anyway, near Davenport. I've been there. That was in 2008, and then there was a terrible one on I-75 south of Gainesville. That was, many people listening to us in Gainesville, you remember that one. That was 2012. So look out for the super fog, right? And I'm telling you, seeing the picture that was an aerial photo of it, I have great eyesight, pretty much. Yes, I wear contacts, but I have good eyesight, and I could not make out those cars, really, for the most part. So it was pretty bad. Let's just put it that way. Looking at what is now happening with the pressure, just the facts as I know them to be true, on the Russian oligarchs, there's some interesting things that are starting to happen. We talked about the yacht at the top of this, and the Russian oligarch, but Roman Abramovich, who's probably best known among oligarchs and people because he has the Chelsea Football Club, he's trying to sell his club after British lawmakers moved to pass new legislation targeting wealthy Russians. And he's not the only one who made a move. In the art world, Vladimir Putanin, one of Russia's richest men, just stepped down. He's a trustee at the Guggenheim Museum. And then you had Anna Netrebko, a superstar Russian soprano, and she's got an excellent voice, and she's no longer appearing at the Met, you know, the Metropolitan Opera in New York, because she failed to comply with the company's demand, because they demanded that she distance herself from Putin. So that wasn't happening, so boom, gone. There are a lot of repercussions of what's going on for Russian people, and this pressure and how this has developed is fascinating to watch this, you know, and I think it should happen. I mean, look, athletes from Russia and Belarus aren't going to be allowed to compete in the Paralympics. Then you've got the International Chess Federation. They cut ties with Russia, and a top Russian chess player condemned Russia's aggressions. So I think we're going to see more of this unfold in the next days and weeks as all of this continues to end. To what end, we don't know, but I love the way the response has been. I have to say it. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Absolutely. All right, Uber. Uber launched a new Explore tab, and this Explore tab, like you might say, well, who cares? But maybe you take Uber. And this, what this does is users can book restaurant reservations, buy concert tickets, and also look at local experiences. So now that puts Uber in direct competition with Google, Airbnb, and other apps, because that's what happens. If you rent an Airbnb, they'll put all that stuff on there, reservations and tickets and things to see locally, and all of that is loaded onto Airbnb. And, of course, the same with Google, and there's a lot of other apps that do that, too. I wonder if that'll be popular, because the whole idea of hitting one button, of being in one place, I think is pretty attractive to a lot of people. We talked about the Felicity Ace. You know what that Felicity Aces. It's the 60,000 ton cargo ship that caught fire carrying $401 million worth of luxury cars. It finally sank to the bottom of the Atlantic while being towed back to shore. Oh, that's a bummer. Imagine that. You're trying to tow this sucker back to shore, and it's gone. I mean, it was huge. I mean, giant. There weren't a lot of details about this, but it went down. I mean, 220 nautical miles off the Azores. So the Portuguese Navy said that it was about 25 miles outside of the limit of what they call the Portuguese Exclusive Economic Zone, and the depth in that area is 3,000 meters. So there's going to be some debris. I can't imagine there would even be some sort of oil stains or something like that. But this is pretty bad. I mean, the Volkswagen Group confirmed to car buyers some of the details and the extent of the damages and models. The group is saying that it's about $400 million worth of cars were on board. You had 1,100 Porsches, 189 Bentleys, and a whole bunch of other cars from Audi, Volkswagen, Lamborghini, etc. They're out, man. They're just talk about being lost in the fire, just lost completely. So that's a whole lot of cash in cars, you know, cash in the cars going blump, 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 right? All right. This is kind of interesting, I think. There was always the other race with apps in getting groceries. You know, that became a big deal during the beginning of the pandemic, where first we were supposed to wipe down groceries, then did you want to go into a grocery store, then groceries could be delivered. And it was all about ordering the groceries. But what app did you use? There's now an online grocery startup, and they're specializing in locally sourced ethnic foods, they say. It's called Wee, and they raised, like I said, that Wee, it's W-E-E-E. They raised $425 million at a 4.1 valuation. That's what the company's been valued at. And their whole thing is assortment and product. They, like, add 500 products a week. So it wouldn't be the staples. It'd be more than the staples. Just think that way. And probably smart, right? Because get rich in the niche. So I would assume, a very good, very, very good rich niche in that. Yeah, I'm just saying. All right, if we go back in history, because if we look at this week and just the other day, if we went back in the time capsule, this is the craziest story. In 1978, just the facts as I know them to be true, two men stole the body of actor Charlie Chaplin, hoping to get a hefty ransom from his widow. Ultimately, they were caught, and Chaplin's body was reburied. If you're going to steal a body, I mean, come on. It's so easy. Who did that? Oh, and now they're ransoming his body? I mean, what a crazy thing. But, you know, money's money, right? And what can I do to get money? What can I do? Jelly Belly Factory. It's interesting. Each bean, I saw this on a thing I read called The Hustle. Each bean takes a week. Did you know that? A week. Each bean takes at least a week of flavorful manipulations to make it taste the way that it tastes. That seems like a lot, right? But Jelly Belly comes in all those different colors and is incredibly popular. So I was looking at what it looks like in the factory, and they really do worry about the flavor. So every single one of those tiny Jelly Bellies, think about this, if you eat them, is sugar, water, cornstarch, corn syrup. They add juices, purees, and other ingredients because they want the treats to have that flavor. So like watermelon candies, for example, what does that taste like, right? The bright pink juice, coconut ones have fresh flakes, jalapenos have the burn of true chili, so you taste that in that. And the company's huge. I mean, they have a 250,000 square foot factory. It's just about an hour, I guess, north of San Francisco, and they have 200 confectioners. Wouldn't that be an interesting job? I'm one of the confectioners. 200 confectioners that slather on at least 6 more layers of flavor and shine. Wow. I'm going to think about that the next time I have Jelly Belly. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side. We'll be right back.
guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Is Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field. We have General H. Brent Baker Sr. with us. He's written this book, and I'll tell you what, it's a game changer. If you read this book, I think you're going to find some incredible leadership and some amazing takeaways for sure, and some motivation, absolutely. All right, thank you so much for coming on, General Baker. We appreciate it.
Kate, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be with you today.
What led you to writing the book after a lifetime of really leadership and incredible experiences? What was it that made you say, I'm going to do this?
Well, for my whole life and career, I consider myself a student of leadership. And after serving in the military for 37 years, I started out, spent 6 years enlisted, 31 years as an officer, rising to the rank of general officer. I really thought I had something to share on leadership. And, it's an interesting, I think, perspective. I tried to make the book really reflective where people think about their leadership style. But the main reason I really was inspired to write it is I just really want to help other leaders that are out there. They either want to become leaders or become better leaders, and that was really my inspiration.
So for you to get to the position that you were, what was it like in your military career? Take us back to that.
Well, it was really a wonderful journey. You know, I started out, as I mentioned, I, you know, spent 6 years as an enlisted person, which I really cherished that time. And I just, I come from a military family. Most of my family has served. So I was really inspired to serve my country. And I said, well, you know, if I'm going to stay in the military, I'm going to try to become an officer. And I did that. And then just very just blessed to be able to become a general officer, which is fairly rare, I believe. The term when you go from enlisted to an officer is called a Mustang. And then to go from, you know, a officer to a general officer, it's fairly rare. So, and then I was also a seventh-time commander. I led really like large units, small units. So I think I have a really unique perspective on leadership. But the way I crafted the book, I tried to write it, just like you said in the title, where you can take the best of a military mindset and try to be able to use that in any leadership endeavor.
Yeah, that's what's so prevalent in this book. And again, the full title, it orders from the general, leadership advice from a two-star general, rise above, use a military mindset for success in any field. So you have leadership tips. Give us an example of some of those.
Well, I think one leadership tip I like to use, and there's 50 actually leadership tips in the book, but, you know, one is about the importance of communication. I think one of the hardest things we do as humans, and definitely as leaders, is being able to communicate properly and communicate our message. And so I really do talk a lot about in the book about the importance of communication. Another great tip is the power of leading by example. And I really try to kind of weave that throughout the book too, that we're always being observed and people really will look and see what you're doing. And probably even more than what you say, they really look and observe at what you do. So those are just some of the, you know, three of the 50 tips I've kind of tried to weave throughout the book.
Yeah, and you have such a unique perspective. For you in that position, take us back to your actual service days, and what was that like? What was it like where you were and what you had to do?
Well, I think what's really unique about the military and is really wonderful for people is you're really kind of thrust into leadership roles very early. And that's going to be a little bit different than the private sector where, you know, you spend a lot of time working your way to leadership position. In the military, like as a brand new lieutenant, I had 100-person, I was in charge of the presidential fuel flight in Andrews Air Force Base. So very large job, a lot of people working for me, a lot large responsibility. And, you know, I'm like 24 years old. And so I think that's a unique perspective in the military is you're thrust into leadership position early and often with a lot of responsibility, a lot of people. You could be managing under very difficult circumstances as well. And that's why I think when people read the book, I mean, they'll see the military flavor throughout, but I've really tried to craft it in such a way that it's more reflective than prescriptive in nature. So people can ask themselves, well, how would I lead in this situation? Or what is my leadership style? And I do use a lot of, you know, the military mindset to kind of draw that out.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Mustang, and you describe what it is, a Mustang rising to the ranks of a general officer is so rare. You mentioned it's like probably less than 1%. And then serving as a commander seven times and giving us that description of being 24 years old. And you've traveled around the world, and certainly you've led small organizations and big organizations, and you've worked in the private sector. What is the biggest difference between the private sector and the military, and how you're trying to combine that, and what somebody can learn in the private sector from the military?
Well, it's so interesting, because when you're in the military, you kind of hear like little horror stories about working in the private sector and how cutthroat it can be, and, you know, the almighty dollar drives everything. But I will tell you, that has not been really my experience. And what I've discovered is that the private sector is very similar to the military in such a way that, you know, there's a lot, you know, high standards. They're very ethical because, you know, they don't want to impact their bottom line. Now, it is true in the private sector, you're driven by more of the bottom line, being able to make a profit, things like that. The military is more about readiness, but I think a lot of the leadership values that you learn in the military, again, being a student of leadership, they're very applicable in the civilian role, and I've kind of learned that. So to me, there are some differences, like maybe what motivates people is a little bit different, and you know, how people look at the bottom line. Again, the military is more about readiness, and civilian companies is, you know, more making profit. But I think a lot of the leadership examples that I use in the book, really they're applicable in both spaces.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and you talk about what is different about your book, and you just gave us some examples of that, and what a reference book this can be. And I think one of the things that we see happening, and you know this, Brent, is that we live in such a crazy, especially with technology and what's happened in the world, we live in such an incredibly fast-paced, changing world. So we really need strong leaders in organizations, don't we?
I think we do. I think leadership is needed now more than ever.
Yeah.
And I actually think in some ways we have a lack of leadership throughout, I'll just say, the world, throughout our country. And I think, you know, technology has caused some of that, although, you know, technology should actually help make you a better leader. But I think, you know, a great example I like to talk about is, you know, leaders have to make decisions. Well, in today's world, especially with like email and Snapchat and all the, you know, Facebook, and to me, it's just easy to kind of pass decisions along to somebody else. But to me, you can't do that. As a leader, you have to take charge. You have to make decisions. You have to communicate effectively. So, but I do agree. I think your premise is spot on. We need leaders now more than ever. And that was part of the inspiration of why I wrote the book. It doesn't show you everything you ever need to go about leadership, but I really did try to come up with the leadership principles and advice that I think are timeless. And these leadership principles that I call out of the book, I think will hopefully stand the test of time.
Yeah, and I think they absolutely do, and I think you've really told us, but I'll throw this out anyway, just in case there's something you want to add to that. What do you hope the takeaways are for the readers who read the book and they're learning from it?
Well, I think a couple of, you know, takeaways that if you're really interested in being a leader, it's a lifelong journey. And I said earlier, I kind of consider myself a student of leadership. And I hope people will read the book and become students of leadership and read not just my book, but other books, and also look around for leadership examples. You know, I like to tell folks that, you know, we're all leaders in some way, whether you're either being a good leader or a bad leader or whether you realize that, but people are always looking to you as a leader. And so I hope when people read the book, they're inspired, like I mentioned earlier, like to reflect on what they do in leadership, how they can become better leaders. And I really hope they aspire to be lifelong leaders and continue their education and, you know, read and do as much as they can to really help themselves and set themselves up for success.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. And the book, again, is called Orders from the General, Leadership Advice from a Two-Star General, Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field. General H. Brent Baker, Sr., thank you so much for coming on. You can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you this morning.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.